Hello and good morning. It isn't often that I start my talk with a joke. First, because I'm not good at cracking jokes. And second, I feel this is a Sunday morning talk when you, my dear listeners, could be just about wiping your eyes, getting out of bed, or sipping your first drink of tea or coffee. But today I can't help sharing with you a cartoon I came across in the Sunday Times concerning our venerable, godlike scientist who just passed away at the age of 76. Of course, by now you will have realized who I'm talking about. It is Stephen Hawking, a professor of mathematics at Cambridge University and a theoretical physics super scientist. He has more accolades and prizes than is reasonable to reckon them in a light-hearted Sunday talk like this. But I'm sure you all would have at least known of him, that shriveled man sitting lopsided in his electric wheelchair, and the projected screen that acts also as his voice synthesizer. Anything he says is robotic in its sound, but devastatingly philosophical and scientific in its content. That cartoon I mentioned was funny. But before telling you about it, let us recall the important things that Stephen Hawking contributed to our knowledge during his life, that fortunately extended far longer than his motor neuron disease could or would have normally permitted. He was a brilliant scientist, compared very closely with the likes of Einstein, because he developed all sorts of theories dealing with the universe and the so-called black holes. And he questioned the fact that we could go back in time, because in his view, time can proceed forward as well as backwards. He also had thought about whether the speed of light cannot be exceeded by any other known energy, and that light doesn't necessarily move in a straight line, but can be curved. Well, all this goes above my head. However, Hawking published many books and myriads of articles. His most popular book and bestseller, A Brief History of Time, is reported to have sold 20 million copies and earned him a great wealth. Interestingly, it's also said that while so many people bought the book, actually very few read it. It remains on the shelves of many households, probably in its original pristine condition. I have to admit that I have not bought or read the book. However, I can boast that I was part of the management of a medical conference to which we invited Stephen Hawking as the key speaker. This was the time when his new voice synthesizer was still in a rather experimental stage, and I was the medical consultant member of the national team involved in the research and development of wheelchairs for England. So Professor Hawking served the dual purpose of talking to us about his theories as well as demonstrating the efficiency or efficacy of the new gadget. So much was said about his social life and the fact that he married three times, has a daughter and a son with his first wife, whom he divorced and later married his nurse. One thing was sure. Apparently he had an eye for beautiful women from his youth, when he was still in full vigor, right up to the end. It's important to note that motor neuron disease is normally a devastating illness with no known cure at present. People affected by it normally have a very short life. The fact that Hawking lived to 76 is quite a phenomenon, medically speaking. While I did not read his books, I followed his statements and news quite closely, especially because he was known to have the belief that there is no God. And this, as most of you would have known of me by now, is contrary to my belief in God, the creator of this earth as well as the universe. Nevertheless, I got the impression at times, especially latterly, that he was not quite sure of his atheist belief. He did not specifically say so, but he was beginning to veer slightly from this theory that the start of the universe in a Big Bang was a spontaneous event, and began to say that there must have been a sort of triggering cause. Be as it may, I did find his thoughts, again quite latterly, about the concept of the multiverse as distinct from a universe, very interesting. I found this quite appealing to me, that may correlate with some religious scriptures that talk of God's worlds and not just one world. Now, whether these worlds are in the form of globes as the one we're living on, or different universes, only time will clarify. Also, Hawking's notion of a sentient life elsewhere in the universe and perhaps other cosmic civilizations are interesting, and I personally cannot see why we have that monopoly on life here on Earth. Whether the other so-called sentient life is a similar form as ours is impossible at this state of our knowledge to comprehend. But this is where science fiction may not be that fictitious. So, having been no wiser myself as to the universe, how it was formed and all these black holes, I can only say that to me Stephen Hawking was an expert in making me and many others think about these matters. Even as much as we speculate, I still believe that we ought to maintain our curiosity on these matters, and Stephen Hawking certainly helped at least to do that. He apparently also stirred God's curiosity, because here I come back to that cartoon in the Sunday Times, which shows Stephen Hawking in the presence of God after his death, and God asking him, "Please can you explain the Big Bang to me again, Mr. Hawking?" And that was, I hope you would agree, a very witty quip from the cartoonist. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.